Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 1, we learned that there are at least 40 quotations from the Old Testament used in the book of Hebrews. Let's continue with that discussion today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
So this verse, verse 5 here of Hebrews chapter 1, is the first of at least 40 quotations from the Old Testament in the book of Hebrews. In verses 5 through 14, it will quote seven Old Testament scriptures. And we're not going to look them all up, but they are Psalm 2, verse 7, which this verse, verse 5, Hebrews 1, quotes. Then 2 Samuel 7:14, Psalm 97:7, Psalm 104:4, Psalm 45 verses 6 and 7, Psalms 102 verses 25 through 27, and Psalm 110 verse 1. And so these are verses from the Old Testament quoted right here in these first chapter of Hebrews. Now, the New Testament doesn't contradict the Old Testament truth. Rather, it completes it. All the rivers of the Old Testament pour their united floods into the ocean of the person of Christ. So don't lose sight of that. The New Testament does not contradict the Old Testament. Some people believe it does, but it does not. It completes it. Now, the objection of the Jews to Jesus is that since he is one God, he has no son. But again, that's what we read in Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Now, it refers not only to God's son, but to his coming resurrection as the first begotten from the dead. Now, let's understand, Jesus Christ existed in eternity past as spirit, for God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit of God came upon Mary. Now, Mary was a sinner, my friend. She was not deity at all. She offered a sin offering after the birth of Christ, so we know that she was a sinner. And you say, well, she did that in obedience. Well, she did that in obedience, but she wasn't a sinner. Then she lied in that sin offering. So then she had sin. So again, you never see Jesus offering a sin offering for himself, but he became a sin offering for us. So as we think of those things, Mary was never deity. And it's a fallacy. It's a doctrine of hell to deify Mary. Was she blessed? Oh, yes, she's very blessed and a godly Christian woman. But she was not God. However, Jesus, he is Emmanuel, the Bible tells us, God with us. He became the Son of God when he took on humanity. When his humanity was born there in Bethlehem, then the humanity of his person became the Son of God. His humanity started back in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But his spirit, and God is a spirit, existed throughout eternity past. From everlasting to everlasting, the psalmist tells us, Thou art God. And being a son is a far better position than angel. Now this is referring to the Bible custom also of declaring a son. Until then, the son is as an honored or, well, favored servant. After the declaration. He is to be treated the same as the Master. The Father entered the act of Jesus taking on humanity by declaring of himself as Father. In other words, when the Spirit of God came on Mary, she was told that that holy thing, which would be born of her, was the Son of God. This speaks of eternal generation. So verses 1 through 3 gives us the infallible person, while verses 4 and 5 gave us the inherently better one, who is better in his position and in his person. Now we want to see the instruments of worship in verses 6 and 7. The instruments of worship in verses 6 and 7. Jesus is to be worshipped. Look at verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. The angels of God were to worship Jesus. Now again, Exodus 34, if God is jealous over worship, then even the angels would be sinning to worship Jesus Christ if Jesus is not God. And of course, these are holy angels, and they don't sin. Now, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. That's an aorist imperative. It's a command for doing something in the future that is a simple action. Him only shalt thou worship. Him only shalt thou serve. The command is given by whom? Well, I said there, he saith. That is the one in verse 5 who said, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. He does not worship angels. Angels worship him. Don't try to make more of the angels than what they are. Satan tried to make more of himself, and we, of course, see where he is. We see where he ended up. The Bible's very clear on that. Satan, he really messed up, and we see that in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, where he decided he was going to ascend up to the height and exalt his throne above the throne of God, and he's cast down. Notice the verse says, and again. That's interesting there in verse 6. And again. The word again is used to indicate the addition of a new quotation. It's a new quotation that's added to the preceding ones. The idea of it is when he again brings the first begotten into the world. Now, when he again brings him into the world, this is a reference to the second advent of Jesus Christ, so don't miss that. God is arranging it for the whole world to see angels worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Angel worship then will be thereby rebuked. We don't worship angels. That's why we don't pin little pins of angels on our clothing for good luck, or we don't have little statues of them in our houses for worship. This quote from the Old Testament shows that all along the Scriptures were testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice it states first begotten instead of only begotten. Now, why is that? You say, isn't Jesus the only begotten? Well, we go to Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, but he's the firstborn of every creature. That is not speaking of more virgin births. Rather, it's looking at his priority and sovereignty over all nations and his humanity. Only begotten refers to the unique relationship between God the Father and God the Son, whereas first begotten describes the relationship of the risen Messiah in his glorified humanity as it relates to man. So Jesus is to be worshipped, and angels are to worship him. Verse 7, it says, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his spirits, his angel spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Well, that's quoting Psalm 104 and verse 4, where it says, "Who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flaming fire." So it's a quote from that passage. Angels are servants, whereas the Son, Jesus Christ, is divine. Angels are flames of fire. God uses them to help saints and hinder the wicked. But they are God's servants. In 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3, we read this. "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Now, keep it in mind, the Son of God is eternal. He has always existed in eternity past. But the angels were created. When a Christian dies, he's not made into an angel. The only difference is we are no longer married, we do not marry, nor are we given in marriage. Someone says, "You mean no mother-in-laws in heaven?" Well, I wouldn't go that far. You may not have a personal mother-in-law as a result of a marriage in heaven, because there's no marriages in heaven. But your mother-in-law on this side of heaven may be there. Again, McGee tells the story of a man who said to a friend he had not seen in a long time, "What kind of a girl did you marry?" He said, "Well, my wife's an angel." And the first man said, "Well, you're lucky, mine's still alive." Well, those kind of things go on back and forth when men get together. On the other hand, the ladies, when they are finally perfect, when their men are finally perfect, they will be gone, okay? And you won't be married to them any longer, and you have to suffer with them while they are in this state. So there are different ways of looking at that. I personally believe the love in heaven will be more fulfilling, rich, and strong than what you had for one another on earth. And I believe that it will be a blessing in eternity. But remember, the saved are as the bride of Christ in heaven. But that's the only way in which we are like the angels. We don't marry and are not given in marriage. But we don't become angels. I don't want to become an angel when I get to heaven. I want to be that glorified body that Jesus wants me to have. I want to have the position, instead of angel, of the bride of Christ and to be with him. Now, suffice it to say that God doesn't allow an angel to continue in heaven who will not be in subjection to and adore the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day, all these angels are going to bow down to him. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.